Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me today on Healthy Desert, Healthy You. We have a very special guest. My guest is Greg Rodriguez, who is currently the Vice President of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation Board of Directors. He is employed as the Deputy Director for Government Affairs and Community Engagement with Riverside County. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you for having me. Well, appreciate it.
I am excited to have you here. You were elected to the board in November 2024 as the district's Zone 1 representative, but I know you were a familiar face and an active meeting attendee for about 10 years before you were elected. When and how did you first become aware of the Desert Healthcare District?
So about, well, it's probably been more than 10 years ago now, but I worked for Congressman Raul Ruiz, and at that time it was the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. I also did his healthcare policy. I was his district director, and so just figured the best thing to do was follow the Desert Healthcare District. And
right.
So mostly attended board meetings, and then some of the committee meetings, like program committee. And then when it got into the redistricting or the expansion of the district, attended those meetings as well. So I've really followed the healthcare district for well over 10 years now.
You have. And so what prompted your decision to run for the board?
Actually, Les Sendel, who decided to step down, approached me and asked if I was interested, and knew that I was already engaged. And especially at that time, my position with the county at our Housing and Workforce Solutions Department, and previously with Supervisor Perez, really focused on housing, homelessness, healthcare issues. And he asked me if I was interested in running, and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely interested in running. So that's why I decided to do it.
I'm always curious about when someone is involved in something from the outside and then becomes a part of it, how that's different. So what were the unexpected realizations after you were sworn in?
I don't know if there were unrealistic consequences, just because I've been on numerous boards before, and even in healthcare, I've served on three different federally qualified health center boards.
So you know how they work.
Yeah, exactly. and that was DAP Health, Borrego, and then I currently am the chair of the Riverside County's Community Health Center Board. But I think what I've realized being on the inside now is really trying to grasp the dynamics of governance versus staff. We're at a unique time, and I know we're going to get into this in a minute, but on our strategic planning, the time commitment right now is really huge because, as you know, we've been going through not just strategic planning, but governance issues, diversity, equity, and inclusion issues. And so that's probably been the most surprising thing is the time commitment.
It's not just one meeting a week.
Not at all.
a month.
You know that.
Yeah. More like a week.
It's like almost sometimes two meetings or three meetings a week, so, which I don't mind because I really do believe that it's really great to have all three of those processes going in conjunction as we move to the future, especially with the new lease agreement and all that.
Right. So it is an incredibly interesting time for the district. As I mentioned, you were elected in November 2024, the same time that voters approved our lease purchase agreement for Desert Regional Medical Center. That brings with it a lot of money, a lot of opportunities. So tell me, what are your thoughts about this time? Does it feel like we're beginning a new era, or?
Absolutely. And I was a huge supporter of Measure AA. Especially with the influx of money, and when I ran and, you know, was doing the campaigning, a lot of my conversations were around, like, we can't just spend all this money right away. It's like we really have to figure out how we leverage these dollars to really make a huge impact over the next 30 years
right.
on healthcare access, healthcare delivery, social determinants of health across the valley. What's been really impressive to me with the consultants we have doing our strategic planning is they've gotten that vision. And I see the whole board has that same vision. So it's not like the Desert Healthcare District has, I think, always been seen as like just an organization that just does grants, and rightly so, and in for great causes. But where I see us going is really more as a healthcare catalyst, and really how we become the convener of advancing healthcare and social determinants of health across the valley.
And we've been doing that, but we're going to be doing it on a much
larger scale yeah.
and also hopefully absolutely make people more aware that yeah. we're doing it. Yeah. You mentioned the strategic planning process. We've been engaged with that, I think, since August of 2025. Lots of meetings for the board, for the staff, the community listening sessions, which were great in February. How has that experience been for you?
I can probably not count on both hands and feet how many strategic planning sessions I've been through in my life. The sewing group that we have employed is by far one of the best that I've ever seen. Where I've really been impressed is that a lot of consultants will come in and already have their vision set for you. And it's like, say, okay, so how do you fit into that? It's been quite the opposite, where it's been we have really developed, and not just us as board members, but as you know, Will, too, staff. And again, the community and community mm-hmm. listening sessions. And so I really think we've gone about this in a really deliberative and thoughtful approach. Again, too, is it's a 5-year strategic action plan. But what we've also looked at is it's really bigger than that. It's really where are we at in 30 years?
Right.
So even though we're trying to do concrete tactic maneuvers and you know, our strategic plan, the goals, the pillars, whatever we want to call
right.
them, is that we're still looking that even though we'll act on those within the 5 years, is that we're really looking at how, again, we become that healthcare catalyst over the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years.
Right. So I know that you are one of 7 board mm-hmm. members, so you don't make decisions on your own, but I'm just curious, what are you most excited about the future for the district? I mean, we've talked about, and none of this is guaranteed or going to happen, but we've talked about building facilities, and especially in the underserved areas.
Yeah,
is that something that excites you?
Yeah, and I'll first say is that I've been on numerous boards, and it's one of the most diverse boards that I've been on. We have a really, really good working relationship. We may disagree on some issues at some time, but most of the time we come to consensus.
Okay.
And I think that's through really healthy dialogue. What I'm most excited about, and this is me more personally, as far as the strategic action plan for the entire valley, is really focusing on the social determinants of health, which is right now under our pillar 3, I believe. Because I really do believe that healthcare has a nexus with housing, with employment, with education,
mm-hmm.
And that you cannot be healthy without all of those. And I'm really glad we've incorporated with that. As far as capital and facility building, even though there's a $600 million, you know, allocation over the next 20-something odd years, 27 years, that's not a lot of money if you're talking about capital. So what I see is really how do we leverage those dollars?
Mm-hmm.
How do we partner with Desert Regional Medical Center? How do we partner with our federally qualified health centers, whether that's InterCare, DAP Health, the county, and even Eisenhower. And I know we have issues right now legally with Eisenhower,
right.
but I still see the potential of us partnering. And really, especially to your point, Will, is expanding healthcare access, not only physical healthcare, but behavioral healthcare to the eastern side of the valley. The Coachella Valley is one of the fastest growing communities in the state. Riverside County is the fastest growing county in the state.
Oh, wow.
Second fastest growing in the nation, wow, next to Maricopa in Arizona. And we know that just by where land is available, most of that is going to be in the Eastern Valley. So not only do we need to look at how we invest in infrastructure, water, sewer, housing, but along with that is how are we advancing healthcare access to those areas as well.
Right.
And so I really see us, again, being kind of the catalyst helping to promote that development.
Okay. I definitely want to talk about housing and homelessness, but what you were saying about social determinants of health, Dr. Jeter, who's one of our consultants, she framed it as all the factors that affect your life and your health before you see the doctor.
Right.
And that is going to be the focus of our upcoming, I was going to say Environmental Health Summit, but it's not the Environmental Health Summit anymore. It's going to be our Health Summit focused
right.
on social determinants of health in September 2026. So I know that homelessness and housing are just important topics to you. Why does the topic mean so much to you?
Well, it's a personal thing, first of all. I at one time was situationally homeless. I have far more advantages than many other people that are on the street. My sister was on the street for a number of years. One of my sons has been situationally homeless, so it's a personal issue to me. It's also, as I got into public service, most of my life has been around running campaigns for other people.
Right.
But when I went to work for Congressman Ruiz as his district director, that's really where this started to bubble up. And how could we make a difference? We did a lot of it around veterans at first. And then again, as I talked about with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, which benefited a lot of people that were on the street. And then really more so is when I went to work with Supervisor Perez. And I had his homelessness, housing, and healthcare portfolio. And it just boiled up in me, for lack of a better word. And I realized that there's, one, there, at that time, there was a lack of resources. Two, there was a lack of integration and coordination. At that time, the county, who primarily provides the services for homelessness and housing, was spread across 6 to 8 different departments. There was really no collaboration between the cities throughout the county and the county. And so in 2020, we formed in the Board of Supervisors approved the formation of our Department Housing and Workforce Solutions, which really brought all of those components into one department.
Okay.
And again, to me, the only way you really can achieve results is through a coordinated and collaborative approach. We still deal with other departments within the county, but we have an overall vision now, and we have a 5-year action plan that we do as well. Homelessness is a moral issue. It's an economic issue. It's an issue that's been developing for decades.
Behavioral health. Yeah.
A lot of that started many years ago under the Reagan administration, and don't want to get political here at all, but you know, when the state hospitals were closed when he was governor and all of that was thrown to the counties, we didn't have the resources or capacity. There's an income inequality issue about it, affordable housing issue about it. So there's been a lot of stuff that's developed over really almost 4 decades that has created this problem. California has the biggest problem, but we're not the only state. I go to national conferences and you hear from people from Mississippi, from Kentucky, from Alaska, that are all experiencing the same thing.
Even in smaller communities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's a complex issue because there's not a one-size-all-fits solution. Mm-hmm. And every solution is different for every community. What I will say, Will, though, is that when COVID hit, unfortunately, the one good thing that came out of that was the money that we got. And our Board of Supervisors in the county made a commitment to invest almost over 25% of all of those dollars into housing and homelessness.
Wow.
And what you can see is through those investments is that we really have made a dent. Last year's point in time count showed a 19% reduction in unsheltered homelessness, one of the largest in the states. The governor has actually acknowledged that. It's been recognized nationally. Our shelter count went up, but to us that's good news because at least people are in shelter and not in the streets.
And so, getting a lot of support services.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing the point in time count, because a lot of people think that homelessness is insurmountable.
Yeah.
That there's nothing, there's no progress being made.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
And if I could say on that too, Will, the point in time count is just that. It's a point in time count. It's one day, you know, at one part of the year. We had about a little over 3,200 people that we counted homelessness across the county. But through our homeless management information system, in that same year period, we actually served over 18,000 unique individuals.
Wow.
So while some people look at 3,200 as a lot of people, there's a lot more people that are in need.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about us tracking that kind of data, and most jurisdictions do, is that that provides us the data to advocate for more dollars, more support, more collaboration in order to address the problem.
Okay, I think you've answered this question, but I was going to ask, what more needs to happen in our community to, if not, I want to say eradicate homelessness.
Yeah, we will never do that, but
lessen
yes.
The impact of homelessness.
Yeah.
So what more do you think?
More dollars. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Most people in Palm Springs will know I was a huge champion of the Navigation Center. It's been my baby for over 6 years now. It's showing real results. The Housing First model that is a national model is coming under some scrutiny because some jurisdictions, not in Riverside County, but some jurisdictions will just place individuals into a place without the supportive services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key as well, is that making sure we have the supportive services. We, again, I'll get back to a lot of the money that came through COVID,
mm-hmm.
Really showed that if we invested like we should be doing, we can actually really make a dent. Riverside County used to get, the only funding we really got was about $2 million from the general fund of the county, but about $16 million from housing and urban development from the federal government, and that was it. Over the last 2 to 3 years, we've invested well over $500 million into homelessness and housing. A vast majority of that is housing. And that is the biggest deficit, actually, because we really have a lot of great systems set up for street outreach, for case management, referring people to behavioral health and substance use treatment. But if we get them into those systems and we don't have a place to put them in at the end,
right,
it just negates, you know,
right,
all the work we've done. We really, you know, counties, cities, states are required to balance their budgets. We really have to have a bigger infusion of federal government money.
Okay.
And that's not only into housing, but into homeless services support as well.
Yeah, and without being political, it doesn't look as though that's something that's going to be happening.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And in fact, if you looked at the original proposals from the Trump administration, they would have eliminated most of housing and urban development funding. They really wanted to get away from the Housing First model. They want to reduce the tax credits for affordable housing development. It gets into reduction of SNAP benefits or CalFresh food stamps for most people. Medi-Cal changes, those all affect that vulnerable population. Luckily, a lot of that hasn't happened. HUD is currently funded at the level at least that they were, and some increases, so that's good.
That is very good.
We're still, though, worried about the SNAP and CalFresh and Medi-Cal issues. So to your point, under the current administration, there's been a lot of frustration and worry. we're not as bad off as we thought we would be.
Right.
So,
but a lot of uncertainty still. When we talk about affordable housing, I know one of the great champions of affordable housing in the Coachella Valley is Live to Rise.
Yes.
You're involved with them. Talk about some of the nonprofits that you're involved with outside of, I guess, outside of the district, although we support most of them.
Yeah. Well, and the district's been a huge supporter of Live to Rise, and I hope will continue to be, and I will advocate for that, especially under the housing pillar, under Pillar 3. I've been involved with the Live to Rise movement. The county is the major partner with Live to Rise for probably 6 years now. One of the most innovative collective impact operations that I've ever actually witnessed. Through not only the development of a housing pipeline, so identifying what developments are currently ready to break ground or that need funding or that are in conception phase, but additionally too is the Catalyst Fund that they've done, which has actually provided millions of dollars for loans to developers. A lot of the difficulty for getting affordable housing units open is the funding aspect. And a lot of it is holding costs for land or waiting for permitting or tax financing or whatever that may be. And so through these loans, we've been able to help speed up those processes. Other organizations I've been involved in, I've sat on PTAs. I've been on the board of DAP Health and Borrego Health. Financially have supported, I don't know how many organizations.
So growing up, were you the kid who was involved in every club, every community
pretty
activity?
Much. So, pretty much,
so it's been going on for a while.
For a long time, And a lot of that happened really from junior high on. And I was very involved in debate and speech. And then in college, was in student government. And so I've always had like a public service aspect to me. And then even after college, I went to school at Gonzaga in Spokane and was going to move back to California when I graduated, but decided to take 2 months in Seattle and ended up 18 years there. But I got very involved politically, primarily around social issues around women's choice and HIV and AIDS at that time. I've been a 40-year survivor of HIV, and there were a lot of ballot initiatives of that time, and so got very involved with that. And through that, got involved in various nonprofits and was actually one of the founders of what was Fairness Lobby in Seattle at that time that turned into Equality Washington. So it really has been kind of a trait of my life,
se. So. And as you're saying all that, I'm just thinking how lucky we are to have you with the district.
Thank you.
So, as someone who has followed the district, supported the district, and been involved for a long time, what would you say to other Coachella Valley residents about why they should know about the district?
Yeah, and I think we experienced this a lot through the listening sessions. And even when I was running for office, most people don't know what the district is, let alone what they do.
If you're not a nonprofit or a community
that doesn't
leader,
get a grant, exactly, yeah, exactly.
Then you don't. No.
And what I like, Will, now is that, and I want to give you huge credit because as the communications leader for the district, you've done amazing work to advance the knowledge of the district. And
thank you.
What I like is we're going through not only the strategic planning, but even last night or prior board meetings, when we talk about grants we're giving or initiatives we're doing is how do we brand us more? Mm-hmm. How do we market us more? Alejandro has done amazing work with the mobile clinics, and I know that's giving us a lot of exposure. Mm-hmm. But how do we advance on that? I think also, too, is we need to engage our city elected officials more, our nonprofit executive directors more, to not only advance their work, but advance how we are helping to advance that.
Right.
I will say, too, with the lease agreement, I think it gives us a huge potential to really advance that work. And again, it's not just giving out grants to more things, but it is being that healthcare catalyst across the Coachella Valley.
Right.
I am a total advocate for more community engagement stuff. As you know, it's very hard to get people to show up to these things.
It really is.
I think your activities through the podcast are amazing. It's spreading stuff. I see more coverage through the media for us. So I think it's just keeping that activity alive.
Absolutely. And I have some ideas that I definitely want to share with the CEO.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
definitely get it out there. Anything more that you want to say to our listeners or
just the
viewers?
I'm really excited to be on the board. As you mentioned, you know, I have followed the board for a number of years. It's very personally gratifying and satisfying to be in the deliberative body. It's a really exciting time because of the lease agreement and the strategic planning that we're going through. To the last question before this is that I really look forward to increasing the collaboration amongst the community partners. And again, that's through our federally qualified health centers. We already have the engagement with Desert Regional, but and I know there's issues with Eisenhower, but I know Marty really well and board members, and they're willing to assist, and we'll get over the legal battle and all that, because in the end, as I said, we are the fastest or one of the fastest growing communities in Riverside County in the state of California. And especially in the East Valley, but not just the East Valley, places like Desert Hot Springs, North Palm Springs as well, Cathedral City pockets as well, is we really have to make sure that we're providing a really good quality healthcare system. And I'll just end with, it all gets back to social determinants of health.
Absolutely.
And making sure that we're providing good housing, good healthcare, good education, good workforce training, that we will actually be one of the most successful communities.
Absolutely. So, thank you, Greg.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Yeah. My pleasure.
There you have it. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We even on Blue Sky. And you can always find out more about Greg or other board members and the district at dhcd.org. Be well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.